Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Jazz and R&B titan Gregory Porter performs live at MGM National Harbor in Oxon Hill, Maryland this Sunday night. He joined me to break down his fascinating life and career, starting out playing college football with Marshall Faulk before his mother's dying words inspired a Grammy-winning journey in music. Listen closely and you might just hear his mind being blown with a new idea for his next album. Hey, Gregory Porter. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
Glad to be with you, my brother. Thank you.
Yes, of course. We're talking because you're coming to the MGM National Harbor this Sunday. But before we get to that show really quick, didn't you just headline the D.C. Jazz Fest? How was that experience?
It was amazing. I always love doing that festival. Somehow the people in D.C. are quite enthusiastic for me and my style and my music, and I so much appreciate that. Yeah.
I like how you're like, somehow, maybe it's because you're awesomely talented. Somehow, I can't explain it, but they like...
No, I just the way that I am as an artist, I'm always just amazed at just the reception that people get me. Mm-hmm. They get what I'm trying to do with music, and it's just awesome to me. I love it.
That's awesome. All right. Well, if people, whether they came or not to see you at the DC Jazz Fest last year, how will this show at MGM National Harbor this weekend, how will that, compare? You know, is it any of the same stuff or like a whole new set you're bringing out?
Yeah, there'll be some new stuff in there. I mean, Christmas time has passed, so I got some new shoes on and no. No, man, I DJ when I am I'm like a DJ when I write my sets. I'm thinking of what's currently happening in the world, what exactly it is that I want to say to an audience at any particular time. If it's about love, if it's about protest, if it's about, whatever the ups and downs and the condition of life is happening at the moment. That's how what I'm going to play. Yes, I do play my popular songs or that are, currently popular, but also, in those in between songs, there's always something specific that I want to say to the audience. And most often it's about something about the optimism that I feel about love. And sometimes it's about being charitable. Sometimes it's about a more open society. Sometimes it's about, sometimes it's about simply about romantic love, spreading that energy. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we guess we're just coming off the heels of Valentine's Day.
The residue of love is still in the air, right?
The residue is still floating around in the over. Yeah, I love it. Well, whenever I have someone on, I love to tease the concert like we just did, but I also love to, remind people some of your superhero origin story. I know you were born in Sacramento in 71, but grew up most of, in your younger years in like Bakersfield, California.
Yeah.
Famous for, the Bakersfield sound, country music fans. But did you listen to any of that, or was it, how'd you get into the jazz, or I guess you sang in church for some gospel? Yeah, I just want to know sort of what you listened to growing up.
Yeah, well, there was no escaping, and you don't need to escape country music. So Merle Haggard was, ever president of grocery stores. but in my house, we were listening to, my older brothers were listening to soul and funk, Parliament and, OJs, all that stuff was being played on Saturday when we were cleaning the house. But my mother played a lot of Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Sammy Davis Jr. That was, that was the extent of her jazz. Two or three artists, but a lot of gospel music. She was a minister, and so there was a lot of gospel music in the house. kids were singing gospel. I was her main soloist. So I was singing a lot, you know, on Thursdays and Wednesdays and Friday night service. So exercised my voice a lot by singing quite often. Also, I think, you know, my mother was instrumental in encouraging my music, even up to the point where I was in college and I injured my shoulder and I wasn't an athlete anymore. And she was like, well, baby, don't forget about the thing that you do best. And that's music. And she kind of encouraged me. I was scared to take that leap.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's the best thing you do, son. This was days before she passed away. She was like, Gregory, don't forget about your music. And she gave me, in a way, the sanction in order to follow that risky route of getting into music. I'm glad I did.
Yeah, as you mentioned, didn't she pass away, what, of cancer when you were, what, like 21?
Mm-hmm,
I read that some of her final words were, sing, baby, sing?
This is it. This is absolutely it. And I cannot tell you. I knew it was her last days. She knew it was her last days. I was trying to reassure her, you know, I'm going to wear brown shoes. I'm going to be a normal dude. I'm going to go to work every day. I'm going to have 1.6 kids. And, you know.
Oh, that 0.6 kid always.
Right.
I get a kick out of that.
Right. I was just letting her know I'm going to be a regular dude. And she was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Don't be a regular dude. You know, listen, and I love regular dudes, but I'm just saying, she was like, take the risky route, son. She's like, I'm a street minister. This was my job for much of my life. She was also a nurse, but then did a little real estate. But she was like, go out there and follow your heart. And I know when you sing, music is in your heart. And so don't forget about that. And it was like something, a light turned on in me. And I was like, I was a mama's boy and still am. Trying to please her and thinking it would be pleasing to her to tell her that she did a good job, everything's going to be okay. And she was like, nope, take that risky route. You might be poor for some years, but take that risky route, you know.
And
I did, yeah.
It paid off. Well, I want to, that's the perfect segue into your music career, but I want to double back real quick to that football injury you're talking about, because we have to remind our listeners that you weren't too bad at on the gridiron as well. San Diego State Aztecs, right?
Yeah, I was trying to, you know, I was doing my best to take people's heads off if I could, you know.
But, not bubbles.
No. Yeah, you know, that's the culture of football, to be, you know, tough and mean and rough. Yeah. But my energy, my internal energy, was kindness, gentle, fairness, equality, all of these things.
Yeah.
So I, you know, in college, my identity was that of an athlete. So once you injure yourself and you're not an athlete anymore, then, well, I was like, where is my identity? Who am I? What am I? Right. As you know, I was a student and that was, you know, very important to me. But what's my extra thing? What's that other thing? And music just came and embraced me. You know, it was just a perfect fit. It was a perfect place for me to go. Yeah.
I love it. And real quick, were you there when Marshall Faulk was there?
I was there when Marshall Faulk was there.
You were blocking for him?
I was on defense. The funny thing is, Marshall, his first year, it was on the practice squad. And this was early on in spring practice. And it was like, they were like, he was just destroying the first team defense because he was like, well, he's not going to play the first year. So he was just on a practice squad. But he was so good that he moved up so fast to first string running back that it was amazing. And it was exciting every time he touched the ball. And yeah, I mean, you know, the numbers and the stories and, you know, the Hall of Fame. There you go.
One of the best I've ever seen carrying the ball. Absolutely amazing. And shout out also, rest in peace, Carl Weathers. He was a famous San Diego State Aztec, I believe, football before he became Apollo Creed.
Absolutely. And what an amazing guy. The funny thing is, anytime I was near him, wherever he was traveling, he would come to my concerts. We had many backstage photos together and conversations and we had a few conversations about, you know, playing at San Diego State, but he would shake my hand and really squeeze it and really tremble my knees. He was so strong.
Like the Predator handshake really, with Schwarzenegger.
But man, he would look me deep in my eyes. And I swear to you, I would get this like Apollo Creed chill, I swear. And he was like, Gregory, thank you. Thank you for this music that you're doing. I was like, man, is anybody filming this? But man, what a great guy. And he encouraged me over the years. It's amazing to meet him and over the years, see him again and again in my concerts. So, yeah.
That is amazing that you got to
shake
hands with Apollo Creed. And well, good thing it wasn't when he, you know, if he was Chubbs Peterson, you'd been shaking a wooden hand.
Right.
Happy Gilmore. Right. Man, what a run. All right. Well, I promised we were going to talk your music, but I had to get some of that San Diego stuff up in there. But all right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So wait. So you're you get the shoulder injury. You're like, what's my identity? Your mom passes away and says, sing, baby, sing. So this is like a very like, you know, pivotal, you know, quarter life crisis, if you want to call it that for you.
Yeah.
You moved to Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn in 2004, working as a chef for your brother Lloyd's restaurant, Bed-Stuy. Remind our listeners how you went from that to kind of, you started playing jazz clubs around Brooklyn. Is that how
it happened? Yeah, I was doing jazz clubs in Harlem in Brooklyn. And I was playing there and, you know, I was all the time, you know, trying to send little tapes out to record companies and all this kind of thing. But I invited an executive from Motema Records, and she came to this little funky jazz dive bar in Harlem. And I played her some of my songs. I think I played Be Good, 1960 What, and work song, and she was like, yeah, okay, man, let's make a record. And and that was the start. It was just that simple, really. And but it was that simple, but then not, you know, then she lost my number. Then I had to go in for 18 different meetings in order to get some money to make a record. But finally I was able to make a record. And with that first record, I got a Grammy nomination, and then started the attention, and then the tours all over the world, and it hasn't stopped for 15 years. Yeah, 15 awesome. Years.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it sucks she lost your number, but I'm glad it worked out eventually. And it was called Water in 2010, like you're saying, nominated for Best Jazz Vocal Album. Feeling Good cover, then Nina Simone, and I guess you had Skylark, which was a Hoagie Carmichael, which I'm a movie guy, so I always think of him at the piano in that Bogey and Bacall to Have and Have Not.
Yeah.
Johnny Mercer right? Johnny Mercer. He wrote
thorough, man. You thorough, man.
Moon River and Days of Wine and Roses for Johnny Mercer. So that's like movie legends in a song.
yeah, absolutely. But you know, at the same time, as I had those, you know, those standards there, but I also, for some reason, for lack of understanding that I shouldn't do it, I put my own songs there. And this was the key to my success, is my own writing. And when that happened, internationally, on that first record, 1960 What was a hit. It had a dance remix. And then that put me in like the ears of teenagers. So I was going over to the UK, thought I was a jazz nobody. And I was being swamped and swarmed by these young people who were going to these dance clubs, you know? So it was really something, just how the music was traveling. And and it's still that way. Yeah. They'll take some of my songs and remix them, and, you know, a half billion streams later, you know, here I am.
I love it. I love it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Do you have time to go into that second album, Be Good? Because I mean, that had God Bless the Child, Billie Holiday, again, cover. But then you're like, you're saying your own original stuff too. Real Good Hands, I guess that was nominated for Best Traditional R&B Performance. So you're starting to rack up the nominations at this point. But tell me about the creation of Real Good Hands. How'd it come to you?
Real Good Hands came about by way of my then girlfriend's father calling the house and essentially saying, what are your intentions with my daughter?
The classic.
And I literally could not speak. But I wanted to say something to him. And in that time, I did what I do. You know, I write from personal experience and I write from emotions. And this is what came out. You know, Papa, don't you fret and don't forget that one day you was in my shoes and somehow you paid your dues. Now you're the picture of the man that I someday want to be. So this lyric came poured out of me, not sitting down trying to write some poetry, sitting down trying to say exactly what it is I wanted to say to him.
Wow.
Mama, don't you fret and don't forget, you know, I was just trying to speak heartfully. And next thing I know, you know, I'm in a category with Beyonce for Best Traditional R&B.
Right. Well, that's right. You were writing from the heart. That's the best.
Writing from the heart. From the heart. And so I found out that, you know, like the masters of the music, writing from personal experience and writing from your heart will always be the best key in order to write an effective lyric. And so, yeah, that's what I've always tried to do.
That's a great, great lesson, folks. All right. So then you moved the Blue Note label for Liquid Spirit, which were you just trying to get next to Liquid Swords and Jizzos in the alphabetical? I was going to say in the record store bin, but those don't exist anymore.
Those don't exist anymore.
On the iTunes alphabetized playlist, whatever you want to call it. No,
yeah,
but
that's exactly what I was trying to do. No, I actually was writing from my mother used to preach about, you know, water as a metaphor for love.
Yeah.
And so I was in a way synthesizing something from her sermons to put into my music. So,
yeah,
you know, unreroute the river, let the damned water be. There's some people down the way that's thirsty, let the liquid spirit free. Right. Yeah. So I taking her energy and putting it into the song. And again, millions of streams later, she's still there. She's still living. Her message is getting out through me. Sometimes that her message is being played on a dance floor in Ibiza, but still, it's still her. She's still alive. And
I love that.
Everybody that's dancing to it doesn't know that it's, you know, the utterings of at the time a middle-aged black preacher, street preacher. But it's the spirit and energy, and I'm talking about love, and everybody can get with that. So
I love it. Your mom's spirit is still moving in everyone that's dancing to your stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
That's great. Well, Liquid Spirit, we need to tell everyone that it won your first Grammy for Best Jazz Vocal Album. What was it like after a couple times getting to go, you know, and watch other people win? What was it like hearing your name called that first time?
That was pretty amazing. It was, you know, very amazing. I think, I was actually numb. I was like, really? And I thanked most people that I wanted to thank, but I'm sure there's some people that I missed. But I was just so, in a way, emotive about my gratitude. And I'm thankful to music, period. I'm thankful to be express myself in jazz and to be allowed to bring in some soul and gospel and blues influences and bring these cousins of music together in a way. I'm still blown away. I'm still am in awe of music and what it can do to and for people, and which is why I do it now. You know, I'm not trying to aggrandize my name anymore. I think this has become a mission more than it is a thing for like, yeah, to lift up my name. I know that people just like me who were healed emotionally through music. You know, I used to imagine Nat King Cole as my father in the absence of my father. So I know that music can do these odd, fantastic, beautiful things. It can lift spirits that are on the edge of dangerous depression. It can bring a beautiful crescendo to a moment of love by way of an engagement or a wedding. Right? Music can do so many fantastic things, a balm and a comforter in an hour of grief in terms of death or the last breath of life. All of these things can happen through music. And so I don't think of it as it's not even a job anymore. It's a mission. And I appreciate it every time it's an opportunity. It's not about the streams. It ain't about even, you know, believe it or not, people still buy vinyl. But it really is about trying to put some good energy out into the world. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to do it.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you've ever even thought about it this way. You probably have because you're a genius. But a stream is water. Streams are liquid. So every time.
Whoa! Player! I have to work that in somehow. Thought of it.
That's you need to take that and run with it.
Wait a minute. You just slapped me in the head with something so obvious.
The best ideas are just right there.
Just right there. My first record was called Water. Mm-hmm. My most popular song is Liquid Spirit. Mm-hmm. Man, you...
Now you're streaming.
Ooh. I'm going to have to deal with that, man. I might give you 10%. I might.
If you want.
Yeah. Hopefully there's no lawyer listening right
we'll
now.
Turn but, it know. Down, but you know. Well, you've been really generous with your time. I want to catch them up. I just rattle off the remaining ones we didn't even have time. You won again for Take Me to the Alley. You had the Nat King Cole and Me nominated again. Lost to Willie Nelson, but who's keeping count? All Rise. Lost to John Legend, but who's keeping? There's no winners and losers. anything you want to say from that 3-album run? That's a lot I'm asking you, but
I am so glad that I've been able to synthesize things about love and life and put it into music and bring some enjoyment. I cannot believe that I travel all around the world. When I say all around, I mean there's probably not a corner that I haven't touched, and somebody there knows the melody, knows the lyric, and is ready to vibe with me. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe that's happened, and it's happened. And, you know, wherever I go, whether, South Africa, Japan, China, and that's unbelievable to me. And, It must be the music, you know. What was it MC Hammer? No, it was Deion Sanders. Yeah, must be the money. I said, must be the music. Must be the music. You know, it must be the music, man. So it's really extraordinary. I'm just thankful.
I love that you just went from MC Hammer to Deion Sanders.
Right.
Hey, but you got the music and the football. I mean, you know, it's all the same.
Right. Because Deion Sanders was in MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit video.
Oh, that's this is where the way your my brain went.
It was just doing all kinds of backflips just now.
Yeah, good thing he went back. You can't wear them baggy hammer pants on the field.
must be the money. You remember that song? You ain't even old enough to know that.
But I'm talking Hoagie Carmichael movies with you. So age is just a number, my friend.
Okay, man. There you go. I like you, man.
I like you too. Well, keep the streams going. Streaming all the way to the bank of those rivers. Hey,
thank you, man.
All right, cool. Well, hey, thank you so much, Gregory Porter. Again, coming to the MGM National Harbor on Sunday. Everybody get your tickets now. It's going to be a great show. Hey, thanks for so much fun. Thanks, man.
Real pleasure, brother. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.